Hour number two of the program here. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Got a list in front of me from our buddies at BetOnline of the top 10 candidates to replace Sherrone Moore at Michigan. If you missed that, he is out because of alleged inappropriate conduct.
Those rumors, sir, are starting to heat up.
Yes, so we will monitor that. I'll get you in on that. But right now we're talking Falcons football. We'll take more of your calls in just a minute. If you're on hold, stay there. 404-726-0929. Right now, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com, Will McFadden. Will, there is so much to get into, but let's start with the on-the-field situation. No Drake London yet again. It has just been, I mean, my word, not yours, but a disaster at the wide receiver room, especially of late since Drake got hurt. Will, in to the best of your knowledge, where do the Falcons turn right now? I know they're using Kyle Pitts essentially as a wide receiver one, but somebody else has to step up.
Yeah, I agree, Chris, and I think, you know, the receiver, what the team would tell you is they're kind of looking for somebody to step up as well. And we all, I think, expected that to be Darnell Mooney. I still, watching him out there on a play-to-play basis, like, he looks the kind of the same to me, but it's just not connected this year, whether it be, you know, a low pass, a dropped pass, what have you. I really felt for him on that overturned touchdown, you know, or I guess incomplete pass, whatever it ended up being, because that felt like it would have been a real big kind of breakthrough moment for him. And that connection with Kirk would be okay, like two touchdowns in 3 weeks. Maybe it's coming back, and I expect Thursday night him to continue to get a lot of looks. But I would also expect, you know, Bijan Robinson had 100 yards receiving in week one. Like, I think you're going to see a mix of tight end, receiver, running back. In that receiver room, man, I think they're looking at David Sills to step up, who has, with a couple of touchdown catches. Dylan Drummond, you know, like, he's another guy that you've seen moments with him. But yeah, the room as a whole, I think, besides Drake London, you know, they definitely, coming into the season, I expected a little bit more from, and they need to kind of pick it up, I think, on Thursday night.
You mentioned Bijan out of the backfield. The Atlanta Falcons can't stop Vita Vea on a bet, and the rest of that defensive front, they just do not perform well against those bigger body types. What do you expect the offensive game plan to be?
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you too, like, Vita Vea is playing really well in recent weeks. Like, he is in form. And so, you know, I don't know. The Falcons have been running the ball well up the middle. You know, like, that some big games in the last few weeks have been kind of right up the gut, a few trap plays. But history against Vita Vea tells me it's probably going to be more to the exterior. And that's basically what the Falcons have done in the run game anyway this season. Yeah, I don't have the most recent stats, but for much of the year, they have been by far the number one team in rushing outside of the tackle, especially Bijan. So yeah, I don't expect that to change too much, especially when you're talking about a guy plugged right there in the middle with Vita Vea.
All right, so give me the scene setter, so to speak, of what Flowery Branch has been like the last couple of weeks. Just, I know Raheem has been his usual stoic self, but I can't imagine that there hasn't been at least, Will, and you're there every day to see it, somewhat of a vibe shift, maybe just in terms of knowing what's on the line, knowing the expectations, knowing the pressure. I mean, there's got to be some sort of reflection in that when it comes to the players and the coaching staff. Or maybe I'm wrong. You tell me.
Well, you know, in today's press conference, Raheem seemed is kind of not like upbeat, because the reality, you're right, like the reality is what the reality is at this point. But, you know, nobody's walking around with their tail between their legs either, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. Like, at the end of the day, there is a real sense of, like, this is everybody's livelihood here. And in a sport like this, you kind of have to be all in. Otherwise, yeah, it's kind of an old adage, right? In middle school, high school football, like, hey, run full speed, it's going to hurt less, right? Like, if you're the one receiving that blow, like, you better be moving as well. And so I think there's just that you have to be a professional and be in because of the seriousness of this game. And from the coaching staff as well, like, they are focused, I think, truly on finding these answers. Like, that is the sense that I have gotten from everybody. It, again, the situation and the reality is undeniable, like, at this point. So it's kind of more, what do you do in the face of that? And I really do believe that they feel like this team is close. And I know it didn't look like it against Seattle, but for a while there it did. And I really kind of think it's like, we can figure this out and fix this. And if, you know, like, that I think is more like what they're really focused on, is making sure that they do before the time runs out and they lose the chance to kind of keep trying.
Speaking of figuring it out, special teams with another disastrous performance against the Seahawks. And then we actually got to hear from Marquise Williams. What did you make of his comments? Did you feel like he had a grasp of what's going on with his unit? I mean, between block kicks and not being able to cover anybody on punt and return coverage, to not being able to maximize the guy that they brought in this offseason and Jamal Agnew, it's really been a calamity of errors so far for the special teams unit.
Yeah, I mean, there really is no kind of way around that. It's been apparent, especially these last three games. But to answer kind of your question about Marquise, is in every conversation that I've had with Marquise Williams, like, I have come away extremely impressed. You know, I'm not going to disclose the details of it, but there was a conversation we had after the Dallas preseason game at Dallas, and I just, like, came away really being like, man, he knows ball at a level that's beyond special teams, right? Like, he knows all parts of it. And that's where I kind of do then look. And if you're kind of watching the film, you can understand, like, where the scheme gets separated from what is actually done out there on the field. And yes, I do believe, like, at the end of the day, figuring, like, making sure everybody does their job is kind of the responsibility of a coach. But again, in this league, these are professionals and it is somebody's job. So there is accountability on the player as well. And that's where, if you kind of listen to Raheem this week, like, it sounds as though they are going to be taking serious looks at everybody's role on special teams. We saw Xavier Watts playing out there on Sunday. And it, to my eye, at least, I haven't really noticed him out there that much on special teams. I mean, you're talking about a starter on defense from day one. So they are taking a lot of looks at it. And again, it's just been so noticeable these last 3 weeks, but something that's kind of gone, I think, under the radar is the Falcons defense. So I guess we'll take away the kickoff return for a touchdown, because obviously they weren't a factor in that. But against the Saints and against the Jets, they allowed just 3 points across those two deep returns that were, like, basically right up against your red zone or deep in your red zone. And I kind of think that that's impressive. I know the late game stuff with the defense has been kind of a conversation point and a little bit of a cause for concern, but there's no denying, like, when the game is in the balance and they're locked in, they're still really impressive, man.
Talking all things Falcons with our buddy Will McFadden. Make sure you check out AtlantaFalcons.com for all of his work. Obviously, this will be something that we continue to monitor, and it's tough to comment on now because a lot of it is speculation and trying to read between the lines. But obviously, I'm sure you've seen by now Ray McLeod posting a lengthy Instagram post speaking to his frustrations this season, and then ending that post saying that he was not released from the Falcons, or so we are led to believe that's what he's referring to, because of performance reasons, which was the quote that Raheem Morris gave after his release, was that Ray Ray's performance was what led to his dismissal from the team. And then you have players on the team like Chris Blair and Michael Penix Jr. Liking and commenting on the post. I guess the angle to discuss here, Will, is that it's just whenever something like that happens, not a good look for a team in general. And B, at a time when things are in such a dire position, I guess it sort of feels like this is the last thing that we need to be dealing with right now as the team tries to stay connected and finish the season strong.
Yeah. You know, Chris, like, honestly, I don't know more than anybody else at this point on this. You know, I agree it's not what you want right now, but frankly, I don't feel too comfortable speaking about this topic, right? Given my nature and the role of my job. So like, it is what it is. And people can have their opinions, but it's kind of not up to me right now to like weigh in on those opinions or how it's related outside of, yeah, obviously you wouldn't want to have a distraction like this at this point in the season.
Yeah, of course. And that's the only reason, you know, I know that given certain positions from certain people that it's not a topic where me and you would sit down and break down every line of the post and, you know, try to interpret what's being right. said there. That's not the point. The point is just to, you know, it would be silly not to acknowledge. It is a huge thing going on right now for the fans, and, you know, just to acknowledge that we do understand that it's going on. But even from where I sit, Will, there's, you know, what can I do? You know, I can't sit here and do anything other than read it, give my opinion, yeah. and keep it moving. You know, I don't have Ray Ray's phone number. I can't text him and be like, yo, my man, what message were you trying to send? And why do you have players on the team that are getting involved in the comments section? So it's just, I think, again, the ultimate point of it, Will, is that the timing is just really unfortunate given where the state of the team is right now. All right, a couple more before we get you out of here. Obviously, a huge game tomorrow versus Tampa. The Falcons have had a mixed bag versus them the past couple of seasons with a couple of highs and a couple of lows. We know what happened the first time this season. Given the state of the roster, given the players that are available offensively and defensively, what is the best strategy to get this one home?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'm pretty confident of, Chris, is that it's going to be a tight game. Like, that's kind of the way it's been over the last few years. Definitely with Baker, you can't ever count Tampa Bay out. So I would expect, again, kind of a lower scoring first half. I do think, I wonder if Atlanta comes out with the same mix of run, pass, like who gets involved, tight end, running back. Like that seemed to really click for them in the second half in that first game against Tampa. So if that like adjustment is made a little bit earlier, I'm going to be kind of looking for that defensively. You know, I think it sticks in everybody's head what Baker was able to do in extending and then scrambling and picking up some crucial first downs in that game. So do you keep somebody like Caden Ellis, the spy, Divine Diablo, which they did at times in that first game? Do you do it a little bit more in this one? But obviously Tampa is not really playing at their very, very best at this point in time. They've lost four of the last five, and they do a Tracking the NFC South piece every week, and included in that is a quote from the head coach. And just reading through Todd Bowles' post-game press conferences every week, you kind of get the sense that there is a lot of urgency there, especially now that Carolina has tied them atop the division. So I would expect Tampa to come out, you know, really swinging early in this game and trying to like get a hold of it early. So I think the first quarter of Thursday night is going to be pretty big in this one.
Will, appreciate it as always. We'll be checking you out on AtlantaFalcons.com. We'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Anytime.
All right, that is Will McFadden there, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Right, it's just a shame about the Ray Ray stuff, man. It's like, Oren, is this team dealing with enough right now? Like, you got to deal with your former wide receiver coming out and debating seemingly.
This is stuff that's like out of the building and off the field.
I know. It's like you're the former receiver seemingly challenging his former head coach on the reason for his dismissal. You have the team's quarterback getting in his comments. Again, that's just, you know, everybody can see it. Like, that's there for the world to see. And then it's left for people like us to speculate. Will, obviously working for the official team website, you know, what can he say? But it's, you know, it's my duty to bring it up as a host and talk about the relevant topics surrounding the team. Speaking of which, your phone calls, completely relevant. If you're on hold, stay there. You're up first. We'll take more of your calls when we get back. If Raheem Morris comes back next season, how you feel about that? It's gaining a lot of smoke online. Again, there's nothing official other than his comment about saying he has 100% trust from Arthur Blank. But that's not nothing. So how would you feel if he's back? 404-726-0929.